Session number 15478.
Mr. Morgan Griffiths, Reel 3. Did you see much fighting yourself after...
Not after that, no. We were there doing a few patrols and things like that, and then we... Italy had surrendered, and we was frightened that the prison war camps were thrown open, and we thought that, excuse me, there's a lot of our own troops who were prisoners would either be recaptured by the Germans because they had continued fighting and put back in the cage again, or they would wander around the countryside and join other groups and do all sorts of things. So there was quite a few of us did a little drop here and there to, we did a parachute drop. I did a drop this side, on the coast there, which is now Pescara, that's right, by Pescara. And three or four of us did a drop there to help round up our own men and bring them back again.
The OWs?
Yes, our own POWs.
Can you describe what happened?
Yes, I brought back five, actually.
Where? Which units had they come from?
And they'd come from, they seemed to be a mixed unit. They was mixed, you know, so some of those were captured in the desert, so, in the Middle East desert.
So were they just on the loose?
I was on the loose, yeah. Someone was hiding, you see. Some were trying to get back to our own lines. Others, of course, didn't care too much whether they came back or not. I was quite happy to be loose, I think. And, of course, in several books being written later by various people, it proved that a lot of them were on the loose for a long time.
How did you find them?
Well, the Italian peasants there was friendly. And they sang at various places, and as you come round with a year, two or three, you drop with a group of threes, you see. They'd tell England, English, Englishmen, same things like that, and you'd pick them up. And I was quite happy to come back with us,
Were they in the town or in the countryside?
Countryside, mostly.
Were there any enemy about?
No. The Germans had they'd withdrawn, and of course the Italian army had completely withdrawn. And this is just before some of the big pushes started. The Germans really went to town, but afterwards on some of the big battles. I know my old battalion, Irish Guards, landed at Salerno and got really cut up. I met one or two of them afterwards back home. We tried to compare notes, as usual, and they had one or two rough times.
Then what happened to you after
Pescara? I went back to Taranto, then we came straight back to Algiers on a boat. And as we come off the one boat, we went on the Somalia and came back to England. So back to England again. That was the end of the Mediterranean holiday, as you might say.
Now, you were telling me that you did a special SOE job. Can you tell me how that happened?
That is when I come back, this was.
Yes.
Yes. We had 4 weeks leave, and I was home for the Christmas, and I had a police officer came to the door and said that we're getting in touch with this number straight away, and the London number, and I rang up at this Ministry of Not the Ministry of War, Ministry. There's some ministry anyway, asked me to come down to an address. They gave me the address. I think Baker Street, that's right. As I was, they wanted me urgently or something, and they wouldn't give me any information whatsoever. And I said, well, I'm due back. You don't need to be due back. I have to be taken care of, you see. But come down. Now, I had to come down the next day, which I couldn't come down the same day, so I got a train down to Paddington. And when they said, I saw an officer there. I can't think of his, I can't remember his name. I don't know if I knew it. But he was a captain, this fellow was. And he said, we know you're on leave and you're due back in about 4 days, he said, but we want you to phone in at, got a cold or anything, he said, not fairly well. He said, you want an extension. He said, I'll send you an extension, 2 weeks extension. And then during that 2 weeks, we want you to do a little bit of work for us. And I said, well, he said, that's all I can tell you, he said, and you're under strict orders, and he said, I want you to sign a declaration here. I had to sign a declaration that would not divulge any secrets or anything, any information that I'd been told. And he said, I'll tell you what it is, he said, we want you to go over to France, he said, and you know the person, he said, there's one of our agents been, we think, has been blown. We're not sure, but you're the only person who can say yes or no. He said, now the person will be brought before you, he said, by a member of the French resistance, and you'll just look at the person. He didn't say whether it's she or he, just said, you look at the person, you'll say yes or no. That's all you're required to do. If it's yes, you'll be picked up by a plane and brought back the next day. He said, you bring the person back with you. If it's no, you'll be picked up and brought back, and the person will remain where they are. The person will remain in the same territory. That means to say, I suppose she's been bumped up for whoever it was, you see. Anyway. He said, we want you to go tonight. So I went by, you go down to Netherhaven. He says, you experienced parachutists. You just go down and you'll be dropped outside. You give me the map references, and there's on the map, he says, it's 2 miles from Rouen. He's a group commander there will meet you with 3 or 4 of his assistants. And you'll be confronted by this person tomorrow morning. You'll be coming back the same night.
How did you get across?
So I went across straight, and I went to Netherhaven, and I was dropped by a chute, and I was picked up by a Lysander the next morning to come back.
When you landed by parachute, was there a reception?
There was about four or five. There was a couple of lamps. I remember the pilot saying, that's right, the sights lit up, tell you when to go, and the doors open, there you go, and I went. And I landed there. I had a nice landing, fortunately. It is a lightest night, so I had a good sight of where I landed. There's not a great many trees about. I landed in a quite a good area, and as I rolled over, got the chute up, I had a vice, some French vice is speaking, and this English man says, it's all right, so you are, he says, Sergeant, he said, we've got your chute off you. And come and have a drink, give me a bottle of wine. He said, don't drink it all, he says, I want some of it. We have very short of rations. And he said, I want you tomorrow morning, he said, just after dawn, he said, we've got this person. He said, we're not sure, he says, whether the person says that they has told us that they got mixed up with the wrong group or something. He said, I'm not sure, he says, what it is, he says, but We're not sure whether the person is one of ours or not. He says, now I think you've had your instructions, what you say. I suggest yes or no. He says, that's all we want. If you recognize a person, you say yes. If you don't recognize the person, you say no. He says, that's all you've got to do. He says, and if you recognize a person, the person will go back to your room with you tomorrow night. If not, you'll go back on your own. It's as simple as that. So, of course, next morning I was... there she was.
Where were you taken to?
I was taken to a house just outside... Well, it is a farmhouse, more or less. Just outside of one. Well, a couple of 3 miles from the one, correct? And he picked it up and gave us a piece of gear. Can you ride a push bike? I said, yes, right, there you are, he said. And there was about 4 or 5 of us on this push bike in the country lane. We went to this farmhouse. And I stayed the night there. So the next morning I got up and I woke you up and come out and took me across to another house, which is really adjacent, and brought this person out, and I said, yes.
Who was
my
it?
Wife. Well, she wasn't my wife then, but she was my fiancée at the time. Yeah.
How had you met her?
Oh, well, I met her. I knew her in Wolverhampton. She came from Wolverhampton, and I knew her for quite a few years.
What was her name?
Her name is Eva Morgan.
Her maiden name was Morgan?
Her maiden name was Wantling. W-A-N-T-I-L-I-N-G. Eva Wantling. But,
what was her background?
Well, she was she worked for the British Home Stores at the time as a catering manageress for about 5 or 6 stores in the Midlands. And I'll say British Home Stores. It became British Home Stores, but at the time I can't remember what the name was. It was taken over. This firm was taken over by British Home Stores anyway after the war. But she worked for them for some time, and say she had she had some friends living in France apparently, and that's how she. She picked her, started to learn French, and she was quite a fluent French speaker.
And she'd been recruited as an SOE agent?
Yes, I don't know what happened. She wouldn't say what happened. She said, I just asked to do this, and I did it.
Did she never ever tell you?
No. She said, I'm not going to tell you anything, and you can't say nothing.
But even after the war,
she wouldn't speak about it. She's a friend of hers in France, who she used to go and see. Was a special agent, and of course, I suppose she. That's how they got together on it.
Had you been operating in the Rouen area?
She had, yeah. You see, what happened? She apparently she came across the wrong group. On her way back from something she was doing, she came into this house. It's the same house we left with a different group, and they didn't know her. And of course, they were really suspicious of anybody, wasn't they, those days? And that's when they got through, I suppose, to Baker Street or wherever they got in touch with over here about this. And they gave her particulars to Baker Street, or wherever they had to give particulars to, and that is when they asked me to do it.
How long had you been in France for?
You'd been about 6 months.
Which month was this that you went to identify?
This is in February, January. She'd been out there, more or less, some of the time I was out in North Africa.
Her full name was Eva Wantling.
Eva Wantling.
At the time. Yeah, yes. Did you have a middle name?
No, just Eva Wantling. Yeah.
Was she the same age as yourself?
She was about 2 years older than me.
So she was born in 1909?
Yeah. Well, she was born in November 1908, actually. Yeah.
Then, once you'd said yes and identified her, what happened then?
She came back with me on the Lysander the same night. And what happened afterwards, I don't know. I don't think she ever went out again. Because I used to come on leave and see her, and she never went out again. Not as, to my knowledge, anyway. Of course, what happened after I was a prisoner of war at all in France, in Germany, for those months, I don't know. But she said she'd never done any more jobs at all. In all probability, that is finished there.
What condition did she seem to be in when you saw her?
Well, she was a bit distressed when I saw her first. You know, I think she was worried in case she's going to get bumped, you know.
You mean tearful?
Yeah, she broke down. I must say, she broke down. I was a bit upset myself, of course, but I do get a bit emotional sometimes. And she was upset when it might have been with relief, of course.
How did the Lysander come down?
Well, he landed in the early evening, you know, in dusk. He was only down for about 5 minutes and up again. And then, so there's nice little planes over, you know, very handy planes for taking people.
Did anything go wrong?
No, straight down and back again. Dark when we go back up to England, of course.
And you...
I don't know where we came into. Just over the coast there somewhere. We didn't come into Netherhaven or anywhere like that. Not Netherhaven. Netherhaven, of course.
When did you get married?
We got married in the 1950. Yeah, 1950. And we came down to live in Southampton.
Now, can we go on to Arnhem, and can you tell me how you went to Arnhem and what happened to you?
Yes. We didn't do it, the battalion didn't do any more operations at all. We stayed in Lincolnshire, right from the time we came back from Africa, from Italy, and we stood by for about four or five operations. We stood by for Fallis Gap. We stood by for a raid just outside Paris. We stood by for another raid just over the border somewhere, I forget where it was now, in Belgium. And that was all cancelled because of the rapid approach of our armies. I think there was about seven altogether standbys. I can't sure just where the others were. We stood by for Arnhem 2 weeks before it took place, and we had to stand down again. And of course, when it did take off on the 17th, we dropped at 1 o'clock on the Sunday afternoon.
Which unit were you in by then?
1st Parachute Battalion.
Which company of the 1st Para were you in?
Our company, those days. That's the Vance Company.
And what rank did you have?
I was a platoon sergeant those days.
Did you go on the first lift?
On the first lift in, yeah. I think it was about 1 o'clock when we dropped.
Where did you go from?
I think it's just outside Lincoln somewhere. Not very far from where we... It can't be very far from Bourne because we only had a short journey by lorry anyway.
And what kind of plane was this?
The Dakotas.
What was the flight like?
Quite steady. I can remember looking through the door as we crossed over the channel there. Well, I'd say the channel from like going to, from the channel across into Holland there. And we've cut across to the edge of the North Sea, I think it was, and got in that way. And we landed at between Osterbeek and Wolfhausen.
What kind of terrain was this?
Oh, good flat country, fields, trees and things. Quite nice country. Wolfhausen, of course, was a level crossing, about 3 or 4 miles from Arnhem itself.
What happened to you on... What were you carrying as you went down?
I was carrying a Piat gun for one of my gunners, you know, say. We're all carrying different stuff, so to help out, you see. And I got my own personal weapons as the new type of... what's that small gun? Repeater we used to have. Sten gun. New type of Sten gun. And revolver, like, you know, and hand grenades.
What did you do on landing?
We got rid of our shoes straight away because we was being fired on. And took cover and started digging in right away off the dropping zone. And about an hour afterwards, we advanced across the level crossing of Wolfhausen. And always remember, as you come across the crossing, there's a big line, a big avenue, and trees had all been blown from about 2 feet up and lay across the road. And on the other side of this road was a huge building. It's a lunatic asylum. And all the inmates are out there giggling and shouting and waving their arms in all sorts of dresses. I always remember I can see them there, actually, you know. And then, of course, after about a mile up this road, we got fired on. And we lost quite a lot of men.
What were you fired on with?
There's a cannon firing right there. Well, it's a tank firing right down the middle of the avenue. This avenue is about 2 miles long, straight, and it's firing straight down the avenue. And there's must have been a range of heavy machine guns around the back of the cannon, or the wherever, or the mobile heavy gun. Firing all round us, and we advanced, and we I lost all my platoon nearly.
Did you have any cover?
No, only the hedges, and no firing cover. You know, you mean camouflage cover or platoon firing to give us firing cover?
Either.
Either, no, we had neither. The only cover was a country road, so therefore you had a lot of trees and hedges, and that's about all. And this panzer was hidden right behind some trees at the back of the road. It's about a 3 mile long avenue, 2 to 3 mile long, and I advanced up this side with my platoon. And we got heavily fired on. I lost a complete section straight away within minutes. And I took a splinter in the left hip. It wasn't too bad. I could hobble around. And then, because it's getting dark at that time, you see there. And then, of course, somebody put a ferry light up, and we got really, really fired on. You know, we got every bit of fire. I think they turned all the guns on us in this section. My company, our company, were literally nearly wiped out. I'll say wiped out, 50% casualties at least. Then I remember we withdrew back some way, and I was hobbling about with this little sick about as big as a matchstick stuck in my bone here, left hip. And I got picked up by a jeep which is being driven by a captain, forget his name, a captain. Anyway, he's a captain, it's the 1st Battalion captain he was, and he got Corporal Curtis in the top of, on the stretcher, the one I was telling you about, he'd just written this book, and he got his, unfortunately, he lost his left foot. And I know we're both getting back to casualty together, and I got this little splinter out, it's only about as big as the matchstick, and of course the feeling came back to my leg again, and I was all right. I carried on a bit longer, but then we got stuck down, so I got stuck down by headquarters then, what we call headquarters, by the, in Osterbeck, what's the name of the hotel?
Artenstein
Hotel, which we defended, you see, and then on the, on the last day, it was raining pretty heavy, we got the order to withdraw to the river. See? Well, I got down to the, followed the troop to the river, and I saw one or two canvas boats coming over from the other side, you know, driven by Canadian engineers. And of course, everybody trying to scramble in, some was tipping the boats over, so I thought, well, I'll swim across there. Pretty strong swimmer those days. And got down to get my boots off, because I knew I wouldn't get across there with heavy boots on, just get my kit, and the shell dropped. And I remember, I don't remember anything else. I got a broken collarbone and concussion, and I was picked up by a German ambulance next in the morning.
And, what injuries did you have?
I had a broken collarbone and left collarbone and concussion, a bit of concussion, and I finished up in this hospital. Just outside on the French, on the Dutch German border. Appledore, I think it was.
Maastricht?
Yeah,
Limburg?
No, it wasn't right in Germany, it's on the border. It is where the Queen Wilhelmina's private residence was. Appledore, is it Appledore? No.